You say that God is faithful? We have all been through quite a bit over the last 2 years. And I didn't mention it in Sunday school, but we did decide to stay in the Philippines for an extra year just we felt it'd be best to stay rather than come back to the States. And we truly can say God is faithful. Some of our best memories were this last year. This morning I handed you guys, I'm not sure if it's up yet, I handed you something this morning. What did I hand to most of you? Lifesavers. Anybody still have a lifesaver? All right. Why in the world did I hand you a lifesaver? I was not expecting that one. Okay. I handed you a lifesaver because today I want to remind you that Jesus Christ, He came to seek and to save the lost. He came so that man could be saved. And today, I hope each and every single one of you here has put your faith in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. If you have not, tackle Pastor. But because of your faith in Jesus Christ, you today can be a... Is it there yet? You can be a lifesaver. Take the gospel, take the good news of Jesus Christ to somebody in your neighborhood, your workplace, your family that still does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They are drowning in their sins. They don't even know it, but they are on a path to eternal destruction. But you have the Word of God. You can be a what? Lifesaver. So today, as I share with you, I'm hoping, I am praying that the Holy Spirit will put a name, a face, a name in your mind, a face in your eyes of somebody that you can take the gospel message to. This morning, I'm going to be speaking from the theme, the unfinished task. Now, it's risky being the last missionary of the month. I watch every single Sunday message. I was like, is that missionary going to take my message? It is nerve-wracking. But thankfully, Pastor preached from Matthew 28 and others preach from other passages, but nobody directly spoke on the theme of the unfinished task. So I want to thank each and every missionary and pastor for not doing that. Today, I wanted you to consider for a few moments if the task of reaching the Aguitainans in the Philippines is finished or not. Is it finished? I want to give you some numbers. And don't answer out loud, but I want you to consider, is the task in the Philippines finished? In the village we live in, 100% of the people are already celebrating Christmas. In the Philippines, Christmas starts on September 1st. And goes to around January 10th, 12th, somewhere in that ballpark. 100%. In the village we live in, 100% of the people believe that Jesus is the Son of God. In the village, 100% of the people know that Jesus died on the cross. Is the task finished in the Philippines among the Aguitainans? Before we answer that question, I want to tell you two stories. When we moved in among the Aguitainans in 2003, one of my desires was to go out and learn names, learn who is related to who. And so I would take my camera with me, and I'd go house to house, and to help me remember names, I wanted a picture. And so we could write their name under their picture. And so I went to one house, and this is before I really knew the culture. before I even knew the language. I knew enough. We at that time we were using the national language. So I go in there and I say, can I take your picture? And right here is a picture that I'm about to show you. Is it there? Good. All right, I'm just going to look at you guys. If you smile, we're good. If you don't, I'm in trouble. I went to this house, and here you have a picture of how many ladies? Four ladies. But there wasn't four when I arrived. There's three. And I walked in, talked to them. They were actually our neighbors, so I already knew their names. But I said, can I take your picture? And they said, no. No, you may not take our picture. But then, and I was clueless. Okay, why? I've taken dozens of pictures of the neighborhoods, pictures of their kids. And why? Why can't I take your picture? I did not ask them. I said, okay, no problem. But then all of a sudden, the lady wearing the yellow there, she said, hey, wait a minute. There's somebody on the road. Let's go get her. And so they grabbed the lady, and they brought her in. And then they all stood there and said, okay, you can take my picture. Take our picture. What in the world? Okay, sure, I'll take your picture. But what? What is the difference before and after? How many were there initially? Three. Now how many are there? And it's okay. I can take the picture. I want to tell you, they have a superstition. They have a fear. That is from this book. That prevents me from taking a picture of three people. Can you imagine this book causing fear, trembling? And that's basically how they were when there was just three of them. But what story in this book would they turn to and say, no, you can't take a picture of the three of us? Any ideas? Okay, in a minute you're going to have to give me back your lifesavers. No. All right, let's move on. This is the story. When Jesus was upon that cross, according to Scripture, how many crosses were there? Three. Because of that, I cannot take a picture of three people. And I'm getting to the point now. Of the three upon the cross, who died first? Jesus, the one who was in the middle. Augustinians know this story, and Augustinians believe if I take a picture of three people, the one in the middle will die first. Can you imagine? They have Bibles in their homes. They know about Jesus Christ. 100% of them are celebrating his birth. But they fear. They live in fear. Let me give you one more thing. Again, they believe in Jesus' death. They celebrate on Good Friday Jesus' death. This is a picture taken inside the Catholic Church in our village, and all of the statues are covered up. All of them. They believe on Good Friday they cannot hold a knife. They believe, or a machete, they believe they can't ride any form of transportation. The reason being is God is dead. On Good Friday, they believe every single year Jesus Christ dies again, and he cannot protect them. So they won't pick up a knife, they won't pick up a machete, they won't travel anywhere. They'll hide in their homes. Could you imagine? They know, and they have the Bible there in their own language. Is the task finished? Yes or no? No, it's not. And today I want to propose to you that your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends, they're not much different than the people in the Philippines. They know, they hear stories. They know it's good to come to church. They know it's good to do certain things. But do they believe? That is the key. Not know, but do they believe? The task in the Philippines is far from finished, And I would like to propose that the task in Robinson, Zeeland, Holland, Grand Haven is far from finished. From this point on, I'm setting aside the Aguatinians. From this point on, we're talking about you. You being a lifesaver. You've had four weeks of missions conference. 4 weeks of being challenged from God's word that the task is unfinished, that you can be a missionary. And I don't want to step on anybody's toes, and please forgive me if I do so. But what have you done in the last 4 weeks? So, forgive me. I would like us to turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. And this morning, I am going to take what I'm calling three threads and twine them together into one message. The first thread is the song that you've been singing all month long, and that song is The Unfinished Task. The second thread is my observations of growing rice in the Philippines. And then lastly, but most importantly, the thread is the Word of God. I want to take all three of these, and we're going to twine them together into this message. So I'd like to ask you to please stand. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. Very familiar passage for all of us. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. They were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Verse 37. Then he saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers or workers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it will guide us and lead us to what we should be doing every moment of every day. I pray for just this few minutes that you would challenge and encourage hearts to be your workers here in the Robinson area. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Okay, so this morning, I want to kind of run through this, where I have 3 points. And the first point is, we need to admit that we are facing an unfinished task. We have to come to that realization. We need to say, yes, there is still a task that is here in the Robinson area. Jesus said in Matthew verse 37, we read it here. Jesus said, the harvest truly is plenteous or abundant, ripe, ready to be harvested. I want you to notice in this verse 37, in what Jesus said, the harvest truly is plenteous. What is the shortest word in that phrase that Jesus said? Is. I want you to realize, and again, this is, I'm trying to get you to admit that the task is unfinished. I want you to realize that Jesus did not say the harvest was plenteous. He said it is plenteous. Jesus didn't say it will be plenteous. He said it is plenteous. I want you to realize that the harvest doesn't last forever. The harvest comes and it goes. And this is the same for whether we apply this to harvesting rice or grain, the harvest comes and goes. For souls, people's lives, the harvest comes and it goes. It maybe is today. The harvest for some is for today. We don't know for whom, but we do not know if there'll be a harvest tomorrow. So we need to be careful. And the verses I have here is John 11:26. Jesus said, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." There's a key here. Whosoever what? Lives and believes. Once you're dead, it's done. It's too late. Once your coworkers, your neighbors die, it's too late. So I'm trying to encourage you that the harvest is plenteous today. However, for us, the difficulty is we don't know where. Where is the harvest plenteous? In some places, a field maybe still needs to be plowed. In some places, the field maybe needs to be planted or watered or guarded before there ever could be a harvest. We don't know where it is or where your friends and coworkers are at today, but maybe today is. Maybe today is the day that the harvest can take place. But you'll never know unless you go. And I'm getting ahead of myself. Back to the notes. Jesus also said in John 3:15-16, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Do you believe that? Amen. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. And also in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And no disrespectfulness to this. I mean, I've been to a funeral recently, and the coffin's laid out there. But can that person in that coffin call upon the name of the Lord? It's too late. It's too late. A person can only believe in Jesus if they are alive. A person can only call on the Lord if they are alive. The opportunity to believe closes at the end or at the final breath. At the final breath. Jesus said the harvest truly is plenteous. The time of harvest will not last forever. So the first point here, please realize, please admit that we are facing an unfinished task. Unfinished task. Number two. Keep looking there, but all right. We should be driven to our knees in prayer. What did Jesus tell the disciples to pray for in Matthew 9? What did he tell them to pray for? Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will what? Send forth workers, laborers. Send forth. Did Jesus tell them to pray for the lost in this passage? No, he didn't. But did Jesus have compassion on the lost? Yes, he did. And because of his compassion for the lost, he said, pray for workers, laborers. So, number one, admit that there is an unfinished task. Number two, pray that the Lord will send laborers, workers. Now, I'll just give you a caution. If you pray for laborers or workers, you're just about volunteering yourself to do so. So, I encourage you to pray. Lastly does not mean we're at the conclusion yet, so. Number three, we should stand up. So again, we should be driven to our knees in prayer. But number three, we should stand up and go into where? All the world. How many times this month have you sang that song, the unfinished task, the phrase, we go into all the world? It's been upon your lips, but is it upon your feet? Is it causing you to move forward? Now, I have something here. If nothing else, if you weren't here 2 weeks ago, or if you were sleeping 2 weeks ago, please listen up. 2 weeks ago, Pastor was standing here, and this is the words, I believe word for word, what he said 2 weeks ago. A real love for the gospel will always propel us outward to finish the mission, to bring the gospel to all nations for the glory of God. That's what he said 2 weeks ago. All nations, all people, and don't forget those that are right here. I mentioned earlier Reed Street, and there's other streets around here in your neighborhood. We go to all. Jesus is our ultimate example. In Matthew 9:35, we just read in Matthew 9:35, and Jesus went about, do you remember the word that follows there, follows next? Jesus went about all. And this morning, again, I'm referring to Pastor's message a few weeks ago, but I want us to think about that word all for a minute as we consider this point. But Jesus went to all cities. He went to all villages in Galilee. He didn't skip any of them, according to this passage. He went to all of them. And I have read, just read, I have not personally counted, but that there are two or were 240 cities and villages in Galilee at that time. Jesus went to some of them? No, he went to all of them, all of them. And I want to challenge you, in your neighborhood, do you go by your neighbors or have you gone to all of them? I want to challenge you. Think of somebody in your neighborhood that you can be a missionary to. So, again, back to Pastor's message last week. I'm sorry, 2 weeks ago. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach how many nations? All nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe how many things? All things, whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We sang a song, basically, I'll go if you come with me. That's almost my interpretation. If you send me, just go. He's with you always. For Ginger and I, many of the steps we have made over the years were steps of faith, not really knowing, God, you want left or right? Which way do we go? And then when we took the step, we knew right then. Yep, this was the right way. Now, there has been a couple times like, huh, okay, maybe that wasn't quite right. Let's go the other way. But, I mean, take a step. Go forward. He is not going to leave you. He is with you always. And I want to bring out, again, this word all. Pastor hit several verses that had to do with all, but I think there's two, at least two, that I want to bring out that Pastor did not hit. All. According to 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Bible says, I'll actually open it. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 says, who, that's God, nobody else, God will have all men to be saved. And if you're in an NASB or some other translation, it says, it probably will say, who desires? God desires all to be saved. There's not a single person in your neighborhood, in your family, that he doesn't want saved. He wants all to be saved. Does that mean all will be saved? No. Sadly, the answer is no to that. But then, 2 Peter 3:9, you probably know that one. And we're getting close to wrapping up here. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, or your versions may say patient, to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's heart is that all will be saved. All repent. But you know the passage in Romans 10. How shall they call upon him whom they have not heard of? How will they know unless somebody tells them? I'm a missionary to the Philippines. You are a missionary to Robinson, Zealand, Holland, Grand Haven, wherever it may be. Now, I want to bring this to a conclusion. I have an observation and an application. In our village, I'll show you. In our village, we plant rice. And from the day you plant to the day you harvest is pretty much 90 days. The moment a rice farmer plants his field, he can pull out a calendar and he can say, on this day, we are harvesting. And that is 90 days from the day they planted. 90 days. And at the end of 90 days, people from the village will go up to the rice farmer and they'll present themselves. That's how we say it in Agutainan, is they will present themselves. So it's basically, can I have a job? Can I work in your fields? But the way it's worded in Agutainan is they present themselves. I'm here to work. Present themselves. And bringing this now to an application. That was just a short observation, but bringing it to an application here. First of all, I ask you to present yourselves to the Lord. There's a harvest out there. And we all know the workers are few. We see the signs everywhere. McDonald's hiring for $13. I don't know. Somewhere else hiring for $15. Everybody's hiring. Did you know the Lord is hiring? And I tell you, the payment's much better. Not only for you, but the one you go to. So I want to encourage you, present yourselves. And I want you to consider 90 days. What can you do in 90 days? From today, 90 days is approximately January 20. Mark that, well, you probably don't have a calendar that goes that far, but January 20. Starting today, pray. Pray that the Lord will send laborers or workers. Pray for those in your family, neighborhood, coworkers who don't know Jesus Christ. And guess what? Well, let me back up just slightly. In some churches I do this, in some I don't. If I was asked, Pastor, if God was to lay one person upon your heart in your neighborhood, what would that person's name be? And let's just say he was to say, Mark. Mark. But now I come to this side of the room and I ask you, who is somebody in your neighborhood? Will it be Mark or will it be somebody else? It'll be somebody else. Should Pastor go to your neighborhood and you go to Mark? If God lays something upon your heart, he's done that for a reason. Nobody else will have a passion or a desire for Mark except for Pastor. So again, I ask you, who is it in your neighborhood, your or place of work, family, that God is laying upon your heart right now? And as you pray for that person, realize God can use you. And so in 90 days, pray for that person. Invite them to church, whether it be Sunday morning or a ladies get together or a men's get together or whatever it may be. Invite them to church. But don't just invite them to church. Say, hey, I think it'd be fun if we just rode to church together. What's the likeliness of somebody coming to church if you invite them? Not very likely. But what if you say, I'll pick you up? you just double, triple the chances that person's going to come to church. So invite them. Bring them to church. Share the gospel message with them. You can. Somebody else can. Give them a gospel track. You may say, I'm not a preacher. That's okay. You don't have to be a preacher. You really don't. All you have to be is a Christian. A Christian. So that is my challenge for you. And bringing it back to where we started. Well, not quite yet. Sorry. You know, this is the map of Robinson Township. That red dot is exactly in the center of Robinson Township. Do you know what that red dot is? It's Robinson Baptist. And I propose to you that the task is unfinished. And as a fellowship, a body of believers, that's your target group. That's your mission field. Now, I know some of you live outside of this area of Robinson Township. Each one of you has your own section, your own mission field. Just go on Google Earth, type in your address. It's scary, almost. Type in your address, and you'll see your house from the moon or wherever, the satellite. And you look at that, and you can just say, who lives right around me? That's your mission field. 90 days. How will God use you? Present yourself to Him. And I guarantee you, He will use you. And so with that, I encourage you once again to be... Actually, I lost it. Did I go too far? Be a lifesaver. Be a lifesaver. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity we can gather together as your children, as those that are in Christ because of the work of Jesus Christ upon the cross and our faith in him. Lord, I just pray that each and every person in this room would present themselves to you, knowing the task is unfinished and knowing that you can use us for your honor, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.